Good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Just this past Thanksgiving on Thursday, I was making my way down the road. My wife and I had traveled about 1,000 miles that day, and we had to eat Thanksgiving dinner at a truck stop because everything was closed. We're driving back from British Columbia, where we went to go visit my son at Fountain View Academy, and we stopped to eat somewhere in Missouri. And we realized everything is closed, so we had to settle for a truck stop. As we made our way further, over 1,000 miles that day, we were coming into the city of St. Louis, and it was getting late, it was dark, and there are some turns to make there through the city, and as we were coming through the city, we had a GPS in the car, I had a GPS on my phone, and my wife had a GPS on her phone. And they were all saying, go this way on Interstate 64 East. And in my mind, I did not think that was correct. And so I contradicted 3 GPSs and said, let's go Interstate 70 East. I just knew that I knew better. Well, you know how this story is going to end. We went the way that I thought we were supposed to go and wound up going the wrong direction and seeing signs that said we're headed for Chicago, which was not the direction that late of an hour that we wanted to be going. And so I had to get off, make some back road turns, and anyway, a little small detour, but one that was frustrating when you've been driving for 1,000 miles and you're sitting on truck stop food for Thanksgiving dinner. And anyway, my wife still is married to me, and we're still in love, I believe. Is that true, honey? Yes. But anyway, I am so thankful that God has given us a GPS in his word, a more sure word of prophecy, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:19, that we would do what? We would do well to take heed unto as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And so this morning, our subject is a tribute to God. As we consider the Thanksgiving season, you know, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. More than Christmas, 4th of July, birthdays, all those other things. Because we just pause and spend time with our families and consider what we are thankful for. And it is so meaningful to me to do that. Maybe also in part that I don't really like shopping that much. And so Christmas and why do they have to follow it up with Black Friday right after spending a whole day being thankful? Now I need to go and get the latest flat screen because I'm not thankful enough or something. But the time of Thanksgiving and this time of season is so special to me. And so as we look at a tribute to God, I'd invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at a story here in Luke chapter 17. And notice a question that Jesus asked in this story. Luke chapter 17, and we'll be looking at beginning in verse 11. It's a story about 10 lepers. You know, we're told that leprosy in the book The Desire of Ages was the most dreaded disease in all the East, the area where Israel was located at this time. The most dreaded disease. Because of its hideous effects upon the person, they were forced to live away from society, forced to leave their family, their friends, their neighbors, colleagues, whoever, and forced to cry out whenever anyone was around, unclean, unclean. And we're also told in the spirit of prophecy that leprosy, that physical condition, is also likened to the sinfulness that we all have and all need forgiveness for. Well, let's notice this story of 10 lepers, beginning in Luke 17, verse 11. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. If you know your geography, you know that Samaria and Galilee are north of the city of Jerusalem. And Samaria was an area where a people called the Samaritans lived, that were not well-liked by the Jews. The Samaritans were the the remnants of what had once been the 10 kingdoms of what were the northern kingdom of Israel. In 722 BC, they were taken into captivity by the Assyrians. And the Assyrian policy, when they took people into captivity, was to move people around like pieces on a chessboard so that they would not be near their family and their neighbors and friends, and they could not easily start a revolt against them once they were conquered. So it was to subdue and subject them. They moved people around, and as the 10 kingdoms of the northern tribe of Israel were moved around, they became assimilated into the cultures around them, and they had a mixture of some of the truth about God, but it was mixed with heathen pagan ideas of worship. So Jesus passed through this area, and then in verse 12 it says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." And why are they standing afar off? Because they were unclean, and they had to announce that they were unclean wherever they went. They were not allowed within the city limits of the towns. Verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Has Jesus had mercy on us today? Do we have that same desire for Jesus to have mercy on us? Verse 14, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.'" Now, why did he say this? Go show yourselves unto the priests. If you go back to the book of Leviticus, we find that the way that the lepers that were back in the days of the time of Moses were supposed to be judged if they were healed or not was to go show themselves to the priests, and the priests would make that determination whether or not they were clean or whole. That was their call to make. And so Jesus is sending them to the priest by way of the proper channel. Go and let the priest know that you have been cleansed or healed. Now, they were not cleansed or healed at that point, but notice what they did. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went, they acted upon the word of God," which is what we are to do today. They were cleansed, acting upon what God had said. And nine of them, verse 15. Oh, wait, are you following along? "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." One out of 10, just 10%, went back and said they were grateful. They were thankful to the mercy that God had had on all of them. Notice what he did in verse 16. It says, "And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." The other nine lepers that were healed were all Jews. The one who was thankful and returned back was a Samaritan, one who did not have the fullest connection and understanding the truths that God had given to his people. He was a Samaritan. Verse 17, "And Jesus answering said," here's his question, "were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the nine?" Where are the nine? Where are they? Shouldn't they be thankful? Shouldn't they be grateful for the goodness of God upon them? And yet they were content to be healed and cleansed and go on their way without a thought or care as to giving glory and credit to God for healing them. Would Jesus say the same to us today if he were standing here in our church? Where are the other nine? Those who appreciate and value the rich blessings, not just temporal blessings, but the spiritual blessings that I have poured out upon them. Where are they? Verse 18, "There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger," a Samaritan who was not privileged to know in the fullest sense all of the teachings that God had committed to the Jews. And then verse 19, "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And I just have to make the point, recognize again that faith is all of believing of what God has said. And what God said is in verse 14, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." This man was healed because he believed what Jesus said, and then he acted upon it. So what does it mean to be thankful? Are we one of the nine lepers who were not thankful? Or are we that one who recognizes the goodness of God and returns to give thanks to him? You know, David understood what it meant to give thanks, King David. Let's turn back in the Old Testament for a moment to the book 1 Chronicles. When the ark was brought to Jerusalem, David was so joyful, so grateful, that he wrote a psalm in tribute to God that he had been able to bring God's holy ark, a symbol of his presence, into Jerusalem. where David had set up his capital for his kingdom. And it says here, this is a psalm that's recorded in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16, and we'll notice verses 8 through 12. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 through 12. And notice what David says about how we should reflect and give thanks to God. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name." Now notice this, "make known his deeds among the people." So when God has been good to us, we don't just keep it to ourselves. We should let other people know as a testimony what God has done for us. Make it known among the people. Verse 9, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." Do we have much to talk about for what God has done for us? Amen. We sure do. Verse 10, "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually." And now notice verse 12. "Remember." Do we have a tendency to forget? So many times the Bible begins statements with "remember" because we do have a tendency to forget. And I'm rebuking myself publicly. "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." And so today we want to remember just some of the great, marvelous and amazing things that God has done for us. There's a statement in the little book Steps to Christ, that classic book, where we are told the following. "Let us not be always thinking of our wants and never of the benefits we receive." Too often I think I have a tendency to treat God like Santa Claus and just bring a list to him rather than to spend that time in reflection and gratitude towards him for what he has done for me, the benefits that I have received. Then it says, "We do not pray too much, but we are too sparing of giving thanks." Too sparing of giving thanks. We are the constant recipients of God's mercies. Notice constantly, the breath of life in our nostrils is a gift from God. Constant recipients of God's mercies. And yet how little gratitude we express, much like the nine lepers who were cleansed and went back and did nothing about it and didn't reflect any thankfulness. Yet how little gratitude we express, how little we praise him for what he has done for us. Well, this morning, I want to praise God. I want to praise him with all of my heart and with all of my soul and with all of my strength. And I have invited a few friends of mine to share with me in that praise. And so this morning, I would like to invite Ken and Brenda Allen to come up here with me. If you have not met these wonderful people, you must do so right away, as soon as possible. They are so wonderful and so precious. Here, you can come stand over here. I have invited them to share with us how God has blessed them and what they are thankful for in this past year. You know, they're new here in this church this year. I'm new here in this church this year. We weren't here last Thanksgiving. And their experience is so exciting and I think encouraging to me because they're so willing to help and be involved from the moment they were baptized in our church. Just when was that, this summer?
End of June.
And so I've asked them just to share a few things about how God has blessed them personally. And so they've agreed to do that without hesitation. I really marvel at that because I probably would have hesitated if somebody asked me. And so thank you, Ken and Brenda, for being willing to share. And I guess really the first question, is that going to be you, Brenda, that's going to share first? What are some specific things that you are thankful for and how God has blessed you this past year?
Well, first of all, I want to say, through God, everything is possible, and I want to thank him, number one, that Ken and I found this church, and we are thankful that we were baptized in this church, and we feel like that it was not by accident that we got to this church. We had been to actually many churches visiting, and I think I call it the seed. God put a little seed in us. Two or three things happened throughout some time, and we ended up here. We're so thankful that he did lead us here, because for sure this is the church I want to be in.
Amen.
I have never seen a church where God has doing such great work through you people. And we thank you, all your friends, number one, for the knowledge we've gained through so many of you. I see so many precious faces. We had Ed and Virginia Bagwell as mentors that are guiding us through our discipleship. And wherever they are, they have been such a blessing. Yeah. They have taught us so much. I also want to mention the Ringers. Carol and Ben have also. But so many of you, I see your faces that have been such an outpouring of love and of guidance. You people we've never seen a church, and we've been in, again, many, where the people are so knowledgeable, multi-talented. We're so thankful for you. We're thankful for you. We're so thankful for our pastors and for this church and for accepting us, because I don't know where we'd be, but the many churches we've been in, we feel like this is absolutely no mistake, and we love this church. We love you, and we thank you for accepting us. We thank you for all you've taught us and much more to come. So if you'll pray for us, I'm sure we have a lot of knowledge yet to go. We're thankful for Wednesday nights, and if you're not coming, you're really missing a blessing.
Amen.
And also, another one that needs a pat on the back is Elaine and her group. Mm-hmm. They give us a fine meal every Wednesday night, too.
Amen.
So thank you all. We love you, and we love this church. Thank you all.
Amen. All right. Well, Brother Ken, how has God led you in this past year? Any specific ways or things come to mind?
Well, as Brenda was saying, we visited many churches. Brenda's New Year's resolution for 3 years running was to find us a church home. And we have been shopping for a church and always open for a new experience. And in the 2015 Mountain State Fair, the Seventh-day Adventists had a booth in one building, and we stopped there and chatted with a gentleman for a short while. And I walked away with this brochure, and let's call it a seed. It's about the Seventh-day Adventists. And that was September of 2015. Came home, filed it away, and there it sat. Well, New Year's rolled around, and once again, Brenda renewed her resolution. And of all things, there was a program advertised in the Times News newspaper for a Daniel Fast series. And I am perpetually always in need of dietary help, and it seemed like a very good thing. And prior to joining the Daniel Fast, I found this brochure back in my files and read it. Brenda read it, and we thought, there's something pretty good going on there. So we went to the Daniel Fast, participated, and met a whole bunch of wonderful people. Helpful, encouraging. It just was a great experience. And thanks to our Energizer Bunny here, Ms. Doors.
Doors. Amen.
So after that, the Revelation series started, and we started attending that, and we started attending Sabbath services. And during that time, I felt the need to be baptized. I never have. I'm from an old school Protestant background where I was sprinkled. And Brenda felt the need to be renewed. So we were baptized and joined the church. And,
Amen.
This, as Brenda so well said that we are so thankful to be here. It's been a, there is something very right going on in this church.
Amen.
And what part of the reason that we were unchurched was that the doctrine, church doctrine, wherever we were, was changing. It was always trying to be politically correct, gain congregants, satisfy other congregants, and it just didn't sit well with us. We found that this church was biblically oriented and biblically doctrinated.
Yes.
And we are very happy to be here.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Did you, Brenda, did you have another follow-up on why?
I want to just say one
yes,
thing.
Okay.
And this is a follow-up of all that we're
sure,
saying.
Sure, that's fine.
I want to remind you of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things become new. This was discussed this morning, actually, in our Sabbath class, and it's so very true. We're so thankful to be here, and we just want to continue, and we pray that you will pray for us to do the things God wants us to do in this church.
Amen.
Because we want to be as much a part of this as we can be.
Amen.
So we thank you all. And I think your last question was, why does God want us
sure.
to be?
Yes.
Why does God want us to praise him? Well, that is his main thing, is he wants us to have a personal relationship. I think it'd be very difficult to be a true Christian and not have a personal relationship.
Mm.
So we want to be thankful to him through all things and throughout the day. Pray throughout the day. We do that, and we lift you all up. I know that everybody's got problems. We have problems. We don't always understand them, but God does, and he's got a reason for it.
Amen.
And for sure he'll, somewhere down the line, show us what it is. And we should be thankful for that, because we're always learning, and we always know that he has us in mind and he loves us so much.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Precious people. Amen. Amen. Get to know Ken and Brenda. I'm sure you will. They are such a blessing in our church immediately. I've invited one other person to come up who's also new. All of us that are speaking today were new. We were not here last year, last Thanksgiving, but the Lord has brought us here to Hendersonville for a reason and a purpose, to be joined together with you in his body, in his church. And so, Dr. Tryon, if you would just come up for a moment, and I've asked him to share just a few things, and his wife, beautiful wife Cindy, as to how God has blessed them this year, and in specific ways that he has led in their lives, and even bring them here to Hendersonville.
First question is, why? What are some of the specific things God has done for you in a text? A text that comes to my mind is Psalm 16:11, where God says, I'll show you the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy.
Amen.
And at your right hand are pleasures that last. I began sensing a little over a year ago that God had a transition in my life. I didn't know what or why, but I'm so glad that he did. And I began to think, not only is the transition important, but how does God want to speak to me? And I found four things that were very important to me. One is, I wanted to pray like Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine, Luke 22:42. Lord, not what I want, but whatever you, no matter what it is. And so I began praying that way. And the second thing I wanted to do is, how did Jesus live by the word, Matthew 4:4? Man shall not live, Randy shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So in my personal time with the Lord, I began asking God, speak to me through the Bible. I want to hear you speak what you want for my personal life, and he did. And then number three, I wanted him to confirm it with the testimony of Jesus, and I found it was, I'd laugh sometimes. 4:30 in the morning, I'd be reading, and I'd find something that says, you know, this is telling me that this is the direction he's leading me. And then I'd turn to Desire of Ages, and I'd read something that said, it's even the same the same story that I happened to find. It just happened to get together. I said, no, the Lord was speaking to me that way. So the third thing he did was confirming with the testimonies. But I said, I want one more, Lord. I want you to open up divine providence for me. And so it was February 16. We were looking to see where God wanted us to be in ministry. I think it was February 16. And it was who would have known a year before? I had no idea. We had no idea. You had no idea. It was Pastor Brian's first Sabbath here. Isn't that right?
Yes,
first,
sir.
First Sabbath here. And I had been speaking over the past year, Madeline, what do you think about maybe studying with Papa and getting ready to get baptized? No, Papa, I'm not quite ready yet. A few months later, what do you think about studying with Papa? No, Papa, not ready yet. Now, you have to understand, she began studying her Bible a long time ago, having her own personal worship in her own bedroom in the morning, loves the story of Esther and loves her Bible, but Papa wasn't the right one at the right time. But when Pastor Brian gave the sermon, his first sermon in this church, when he sat down, Pastor David Wright got up and he pulled up. He said, I'd like to give an invitation to those who would like to make a decision for Jesus. And at that moment, Madeline grabbed one of these little cards, and she filled it out, and she turned it in, and the next thing happened, we got a visit. Yes, you know, he didn't waste any time. No grass grew under his feet. He was at our door saying, I've come to visit you. And he sat down with Madeline, and the two of them made a decision. They'd get together, and they studied at school, and went through the series and made a decision to be baptized. And I found that God does honor those requests if we'll submissive say, Lord, not what I want. If we'll look in the Word and say, Lord, change my thinking. I want to do it your way, not what I think is best. Confirm it with your testimonies. And at the last, not first, but last, follow it with signs.
Amen. Amen.
You had another question.
Yes.
Another question. How does God lead in the last year? Well, that's a lot of it. I think I love how God leads through little girls in my life and has watched them grow. It was a meeting that I was asked to go to learn how to do evangelism better. And I went to hear Doug Batchelor, and I really was having a good weekend. I had wanted my wife to come, but at the last minute she couldn't. She had other responsibilities. And I got up and went to the church service, and as I was sitting there in the back, with loved ones from the church where God had me in a ministry at that time. And I got a text. And, boy, texts can be dangerous, can't they? But I did get a text saying, why don't you come sit with me and my family? And it was from Pastor David Wright.
Amen.
And I thought, well, you know, I couldn't do that. That wouldn't look quite right here. I'm sitting with other friends from where I'm serving in a different capacity. I don't think I could get up and leave. But about that time, a little girl had to have attended some of her own personal needs and took her mommy by the hand and left the auditorium, went to the back of the church to take care of her little needs. And as she came back into the church, coming from behind me, she spotted me. She spotted me. And it was little Marianne. And she always sits right over here. And I think about her every time I see her. I think of this story because she made a beeline right to me. And I was sitting there in the aisle, and she had just a little arms wide stretched out. And as she stretched her arms out, she came up to me and threw her arms around me and said, would you please come sit with me? All right, now, who can turn her down here? Show
Nobody.
Me who can turn her down.
Nobody.
I said, folks, you'll have to excuse me. I've got a special date here. So I went to sit with her. And you know, every time I'd ask Pastor David a question later that day, he never gave me his opinion. He always said, well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what the testimonies say. Read it for yourself. Never told me what to do. And one thing led to another. And you know what I have found? I'm going to ask my family, and that includes the Penders, since they're part of my family, to stand. All the family that are here with me today, just stand up. You don't have to say anything. This is just part of my family that's here with me today. All the both rows. Grandpa, you don't have to stand up if you can't make it, because I know your heart's here. Hasn't God blessed me with a wonderful family?
Amen.
Have a seat. But also, Amen. I want to thank God for my church family and what they mean so much for me. The next question, you were going to say something?
No. Go ahead. The next question, why do you believe it's important for us to praise God?
Psalm 107, one of my favorite psalms. The verse says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. I thank God because he is good and his mercy endures. And I always tell my grandchildren, always love Jesus, always love the Bible, and always love the Sabbath. If you love those three, You can go through anything in life. I believe it's important to be able to do those things. And the last part that I wanted to share with you, I'd like to share that as a text. Give thanks to the Lord. Madeline, I want you to always remember, Jesus loves you, and he's going to lead you in Psalm 16:11. He'll show you the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures at last. But I couldn't say the last part because I'm a kind of an emotional guy, and I think I'd break down and just tears come down my face. So I brought my wife up to say it instead.
He's going to make it hard on me. I just want to say when we started coming here, Madeline shared with me the three favorite things about this whole church to her are Pastor David, Pastor Brian, because they're both very funny, and Elaine Padgett. Right. He just set me up for this. Laura sent a text to me while we were sitting in church today, and while Madeline was getting dressed afterwards, she said, "This is the best day of my life."
Amen. 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 I got it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, guys. Amen. Well, God is good. Amen. Amen. God is working. We have so much to be thankful for, and I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg for what they could have shared and what Ken and Brenda could have shared. So much to be thankful for. God is working and leading, and he's going to continue to guide us as we prepare for his soon coming. Well, I just would like to mention just a few things, and I'll just give you the references for these. If those of you, I know this church is a very active church biblically. We want to be biblically correct, not so much politically correct, but biblically correct. If culture changes and you're following the culture, then you'll change with the culture. But if you're following the Bible and the culture changes, you'll follow the Bible and stay with what the Bible says. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and how long? And forever. So as I think about some of the many blessings that I have personally and how God has led us here, there are so many temporal things to be thankful for. House, car, food, clothing, but as I considered the message today, and it dawned on me, how often do I overlook the spiritual blessings that God has for me? And so I just want to give you a rundown of just, and I'll just give you the reference for them, just for the sake of time, that these are spiritual blessings that I am thankful for. Number one, repentance and forgiveness. Acts 5:31 tells us that is the gift of God, that it is God who gives repentance and forgiveness. Are we thankful for that this morning? Amen. Number two, I am thankful for the everlasting comfort and the hope that we have that God gives us. The Bible tells us in clear terms that hope itself is a gift from God in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. Number three, I am thankful for the spiritual life and the godliness that God gives to us in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. The Bible says that God has given to us all things that pertain or that relate to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All things that godliness is really godlikeness. And he has given us, the Bible says, all things. Anything that relates to becoming like God and having his character, he has given it to us. Do I sense that and realize that? And am I appreciating that? Today I say I am. 2 Peter 1:3. Number four, I am thankful for today, the gift of the Sabbath. The Bible tells us the Sabbath is a gift from God in Exodus 16:29, a gift of time. It's been said the most valuable thing you can give to someone isn't stuff, but it's your time. And God has given us his time for a whole 24-hour period every week that we might come apart from our cares, our business, and our stresses and focus on what's most important, the gift of the Sabbath. Number five, I am thankful for the grace that God gives to us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says that God has given to us his grace and given it to us abundantly. Number six, I am thankful for the love that God has for us. And that love, Romans 5:5, is shed abroad in our hearts through another gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are rich this morning spiritually, brothers and sisters. If we don't even realize it, do we? The gift of the Holy Spirit, which brings with it the gift and the manifestation of God's love. All of these are tremendous gifts that God has given to us. But wait, it continues on. Number 7, I am thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Is given." And he was given for all eternity. He was given to the human race as our brother, our friend, as our God. He was given to us. And of course, why was he given? We know John 3:16, "For God so loved the Hendersonville Seventh-day Adventist Church that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus is a gift that each one of us can have and accept today. And then finally, I'll invite you to turn to this verse, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Lamentations chapter 3, and we'll read verses 22 and 23, and I'll close on this gift that God has given to us. At least 8 or 9 things, spiritual gifts, blessings that God has poured out on us today. Are we thankful, or are we like the 9 lepers who go on their way and give little thought or little attention to what God has done for us? Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. Do we have that this morning? If you have that verse, please say amen. Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 22, the Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." So what is it that causes us not to be consumed and destroyed? His mercies. I am thankful for his mercies. And then it continues on and says, "Because his compassions fail not." And how often are they renewed? They are new every morning, every day, every week, every Sabbath, every year. Even though Thanksgiving comes once a year, God's mercies are not once a year. They are every year, every day. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is what? Thy faithfulness." I am thankful for the faithfulness and the patience of God with each one of us. When we don't recognize that we should be more grateful and more thankful for what he has done for us. Because if we are thankful and grateful, our experience will be changed. Our lives will be changed. Our countenance and our characters will be changed. As we reflect more and more gratitude towards God, we'll have more and still more of a desire to give him praise and to give glory to him, which is the first angel's message. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Our Father in heaven, Lord, truly great is your faithfulness to us. In spite of our indifference and lack of thankfulness and gratitude to you, you have still abundantly, richly poured out your grace, mercy, and love to each one of us. Lord, help us to realize and appreciate more fully the sacrifice that has been made at an infinite cost for each one of us. Help us to reflect more and still more praise and give you the glory that you deserve. We praise you today, and we ask and plead for your continued mercies and blessings in our lives. Guide us and lead us this week, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.